and present it again. If that doesn't work and they continue to sin and it's polluting the congregation, bring it before the congregation. And if it's correctly done and you're following the truth of God, and that person still refuses to change their ways or their thinking and stop sinning, the pastor and the elders of the church should ask that person to leave the congregation and then work with them outside the congregation with the goal of bringing them back into the congregation. We don't just shoot our wounded in our Christian churches. We're to help them. So that's where this judging thing comes in. Let's keep reading. Speak not evil one of another, verse 11. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. Meaning, if you are speaking evil of somebody and God says not to do that, you're putting yourself above the law of God. You're breaking the law by your action. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge of the law. You can't judge the law because the judge wrote the law, okay? And so if we put ourselves above the law, we say that, no, that's not important. We don't have to do that. We're not doing the law that God wants. Remember, the law hasn't gone away. The love of God came and it's called salvation and grace, but the law is still in effect. 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. That's God. Who art thou to judge another? We don't judge a person's heart. We don't even know our own hearts, the Bible says. Our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? But we can judge against the word people speak, speech and action. We should have fruit. And if we look at somebody's fruit and it's bad fruit, we're obligated to tell them it's bad fruit. See, so it's a self-correcting system. And so the message here is, make sure you know what you're talking about and you're following the word of God and not your opinion. And then the Holy Spirit will help you help your Christian brother or sister. So in 7, James gives us a bigger picture about our lives in the verses we've just read. What is it? Should we simply give up and not care anything more except God? What is he saying here? And since our life is a vapor, let's keep reading. Verse 13, go to now, ye say, today or tomorrow we will go into a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get a gain, get a profit. Verse 14. Whereas ye know what not shall the tomorrow, we know not what shall be on the morrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God says, I could require your life this evening when you go to bed. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanishes away. In the scheme of eternity, our time here on earth, even if it's 100 years, is just but a puff of smoke. Like when you blow out a candle, there's that hot wick and it keeps melting the wax, which is how the flame, that's the fuel for the flame. We see this beautiful, pure white little puff of smoke. It only lasts a second or two. He's saying that's our lifetime. But he's not trying to discourage us. What he's trying to say here is that we have to rely on God for everything, all the planning we do. And when we do plan with God and let him guide us, it always works out right. When we're on our own, good luck with that. You know, most of the time it doesn't work out and we have a consequence. And the purpose of the consequence is to remind us to pray about it before we make a decision. Now, I'm not talking about whether you have a drink of water now or 5 minutes later. Those are insignificant types of decisions, but big decisions. Like, if I want to marry this person, should I continue to live in Red Bluff, Lord? Where do you have me to be? Xuntai, do you want me to, stay at this church or go to another church? You know, these are the big decisions always, always, always rely on God for. And he will be there and it'll be the right decision. And sometimes we think it's not, but it turns out it is. We just have to let it play out a little bit. So that's a big mistake we all make. Question 8, verses 15 states conversationally that God is sovereign over everything, including how many days we have left on earth. Do we live like that? No. We should. We should put in front of everything that we say and do, if God wills it. You know, there's a big debate about that in the Christian community. someone will come to me and say, you know, geez, I have a health problem. Will you pray for me? And I'll say, sure. I'll introduce us to the Lord, you know, Holy Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we come to you in prayer. And Lord Jesus, if it be your will, my friend has asked me to pray to you about their health problem or about their finances or about their job or about this or that. A lot of people tell me, why do you say that? Because James tells me to say that. Before we make a decision, and if you're praying for somebody's health, and the reason I say that's important for everything, especially their health, maybe God's calling them home. So I'd be praying against God's will. I don't want to pray against God's will. Lord, if it be your will, you know, I'm praying, a petitioning for this person's health and their comfort, Lord. And if you're going to take them home, we'll pray for mercy. If you're not going to take them home, I pray for healing. So we don't got to get in any bitty of this, but we know God's going to do what he's going to do. And so I don't want to give this person false hope, because then they'll come back and say, well, you know, you prayed for me and I'm still sick. Okay. Well, I said, well, I'm not God. I can just bring this to God's attention, and God's going to do what God will. Doesn't God love me? Yeah, he loves you enough to bring you home, and maybe you're not saved, and maybe you're seeing that you need to be saved. That's the bigger issue here. You know, so this gets really heavy and complicated, doesn't it? But we have to trust God, and we have to go to him and petition him. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, if you will it, you know, I'd like to do this, or I'd like to have this health problem healed, Lord. It gets very complicated. Why? Because we don't know the future, but God does. We have to trust God. Question 9. In addition to all these good instructions for living a godly life, what does James say about boasting? God says elsewhere in his word, no man glories before God. Well, the reality is, you either seek the glory of man or the glory of God. And if you're seeking the glory of man, God says that's all you're going to get. You're not going to have any glory from me. So we don't want to boast in our accomplishments. Yes, acknowledging people, that's fine. But we don't want to get prideful. Pride is a tremendous problem for people. You think too highly of yourself. Think highly of God. And think of yourself as a servant of the Most High God. Last question 10. All these difficult but godly instructions are summed up in verse 17. If we believe that all good comes from God, this makes perfect sense. This reminds us of what Paul said in Romans in chapter 14. Do we see how all scripture fits together and how this masterpiece from the master, I'm talking about the Bible, could not have been written by man? This is written by God. 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. So if we know what scripture is and what God would have for us and we don't do it, that's a sin too. The Catholics call that a sin of omission. And we should ask for forgiveness, pray for sins of omission, because we've omitted doing something that God wants us to do. James says that's just the same sin as if it's a sin of contrition, if we do it voluntarily. So what Paul says in Romans, to back this up, chapter 14, verse 23. Oh, that's Corinthians. No wonder it doesn't read right. Romans. We're almost done, Sally. Don't worry. 14. In this case, Paul's talking about eating meat that was sacrificed to idols. Okay, Paul says it's just hamburger. It doesn't matter if the pagans use it or not. It's half price. Pay for it, eat it. It's not going to hurt you. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. This is the kicker. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So Paul says, whatever is not of faith is sin. So in our Christian walk, if it's of faith, faith in God, then it's okay. It's good. But if it's not of faith in God, it's sin. And what does James say here? If you know to do good and don't do it, that's sin too. So these two guys got us coming and going. That's okay. We need this instruction because we need to understand God's in charge of everything. and God loves us, and God wants us to be in His grace, performing as servants until He calls us home. Then we can be of use to the Master. We're pleasing God. James is a tough book, but it's a good book. It's a good book. And if we're a friend of the world, if we have misplaced passion in the world, we're an enemy of God. I don't want to be an enemy of God. Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful for this instruction from James. He's had experiences, like Dorothea said, living with Jesus his whole life up until the start of the ministry. He saw Jesus go to the cross. He saw Jesus resurrected. He became saved, born again, and he became the head elder of the church, the Christian church in Jerusalem. And from his experiences that were very unique with Jesus, he knew the difference between right and wrong. He knew how to live a Christian life and walk the walk and talk the talk. And that's what the book of James is about. Keeping our focus on you, Lord Jesus, and not on the world. And living in the world, but not being of the world. We're so grateful for this book, these reminders, and that in a humble heart, when we pray to God, He will correct our prayers. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And He will grant those prayers that we have that have anything to do with building the kingdom of God, following the instruction of the Holy Spirit. That's so comforting. And we know that you love us and care for us, Lord. That's not the issue. But the issue is, you're God and we're not. And we submit to you every day. And that's a good thing. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.